Unmute. That's right. You hear the music, you know it's Tuesday night right here on Kayak Fishing Radio. I am your host, A Bad Batcast, or Rob DeVore, otherwise known as A Bad Batcast. Never can get that right, man. And I'm right here on your every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock with all of your favorite kayak fishing information and all of that goodness, good stuff. So a little bit slow. People are filtering in to the chat room here little by little. And so I'll slow it down for you. I'll wait. We're going to go ahead and wait for some listeners. I'm kidding. If you're late, it's your own damn fault. All right. So I'm here at Bad Batcast Central and was... looking through some footage over the weekend, went fishing, and it was fun. Didn't catch a whole lot of fish though, so we're gonna go ahead and I'll have to make another vlog out of that and see what we can do. One of the funny things that happened was as I'm sitting there filming, and you know, so you don't leave the thing running the whole time, you know, because you know, when you're out for 5 or 6 hours at a time, you don't. You know, I don't use a 32 gig, you know, memory card for it, SIM card for it. So I only use a 16, so I can get about 2.5 hours out of that. So, you know, if I get into a fishy area or something that looks fishy or something, I might turn it on and start shooting, you know. But, you know, when it's on your head, you can't really tell if it's on or not. You know, it'll give you a beep and everything, but... doesn't always mean that it's, you know, working right. So I like to double check it and make sure it's working right, which means, you know, take it off and see if the LED light is on and if it's on your setting and everything. So, well, I did that. And after I was, you know, shooting for a little while and, you know, shut it off or hit pause or whatever and then, you know, hit the shoot again. And I look at it and it's like the lens is all fogged up, man. I mean, it's fogged up bad. So, reviewing my footage here just a few minutes ago, I was kind of laughing because, you know, starts off all nice and clear and, you know, there's me and Keith and we're paddling and we get to this spot and, you know, we start fishing and everything. And it's like little by little, you know, about 6 minutes in, it's getting a little foggy and it doesn't look like the lens is fogged up. It looks like it's like we're fishing in fog, you know, like it was, you know, like it was Mosquito Lagoon or something, when we went, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. It's just funny. So we'll have some fun with it. But yeah, I was out fishing in the mangroves over the weekend, and it was very windy. We're going to get into that in a little bit here, to talk about how to use wind to your advantage when it's cold and windy and 20 miles an hour, and how to get around it. You know, you don't always have to, you know, paddle right into the wind. Another thing we're going to talk about is the weather keeps cooling down, and that's been kind of a reoccurring theme here on Tuesday nights is the fall fishing. It's getting cooler, and some of the things that you need to look at and change, and maybe some other species that you want to target. The Chokoloskee boondoggle is coming up President's Day weekend. And I believe we're going to have our own little Boondoggle page on kayakfishingradio.com. So pay attention. Let me go to the homepage here and see if we got anything up yet. But that's something to look forward to. A lot of times folks have a hard time finding the information. You know, even though we tell you, go to, yakangler.com and you can get all that stuff right there at Yak Social in the events section. So let me see. Blah, blah, blah. What do we got here? I don't see anything at the moment. Okay, bummer. It also shows that Isaac is still doing 10 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday nights, which hasn't been happening for a couple of months, so we need to get that fixed. But you can catch Isaac on Friday nights with Dennis Spike, the Spiker, and they are on at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, right here on Kayak Fishing Radio. And
hey, folks, Isaac the Nothing Miller here.
That's right. And, yeah, so anyway. I keep saying so anyway. So those are the things that we're going to get into a little bit tonight. And if we have time, we'll talk about some braided line. And, wow, man, some serious weather going on up in the old northeast there. I think we had a nor'easter over the weekend. Except it ain't even close to Easter. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'll be here every Tuesday. Oh, man. Can you tell it's been a long day there, Mark? Are you there? I think you might have muted yourself.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. What do you think, man? They had a nor'easter over the weekend, and it's not even close to Easter.
You'll be here every Tuesday, folks.
Yeah,
make sure you
tip
your waitress. Try the veal.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man.
Oh, man, you've been battling the wind up there this week, eh?
Yeah, it's been insane. You know, when you look at the, you know, I was thinking, you know what? The wind's hauling. Maybe if I hit one of these local inlets, put drive up, you know, look at the water, and even the heaviest chop is, or the small little channels have a white cap chop, and it's like, maybe not.
Yeah, we usually, it's been windy around here too, but usually there's some places that you can hide out. You know, there's some little, a series of mangrove islands around here and stuff that we kind of head into when it gets windy, and usually you can hide from the wind and stuff, so it's not that bad, you know, it's not that big of a deal sometimes, you know. Now, other times when you can't get out of it, but I have a couple of, you know, little spots where, you know, it's only maybe a 5-minute paddle in the nasty washing machine stuff, and then what you do is you go, once you get through that, you're golden, you know, because you have shorelines, basically, you know, these mangrove islands, they take up every shape and size you can think of, so you can pretty much hide from the wind no matter what direction it's coming from. So, anyway, folks, I got off track there for a little bit, and it looks like the Hammerhead, we haven't, I've heard from him, but I don't know if he's going to call in or not because of all the damage and everything sustained up there from all the freak snow. I was watching West Virginia versus Rutgers over the weekend, and they were playing that football game in New Jersey, I believe. And that was, they were playing in sleet, and it was sleet the entire game, man. It was like, wow, man, where did, you know, it's just one of those classic type of football games, you know. Nobody was passing the ball too much. But, yeah, as you can imagine. So, I'm sure Greg's okay, and I'm just sure that the phone lines aren't all doing very well. So,
yeah, you can hope.
Yeah, so anyway, also the, so pay attention to the Chokoloski boondoggle information there on yakangler.com. If you need information on it, if it's something that you'd like to go do with us, what we all do is the Kayak Fishing Radio crew and the Yak Angler crew, we all get together about four times a year. And we meet up somewhere and we go camping and fishing and grilling and, you know, you name it. So we're doing that down in 10,000 Islands, Chokoloski, Everglades City. And you can get all of that information. If you need any of the information, feel free to email us, either chip@kayakfishingradio.com, or you can email me at rob@abadvatcast.com. We'll make sure that you get all of that information. Anybody listening to the podcast, that is, once again, if you don't know, that is President's Day weekend, which is February, I want to say 18th, 19th, something like that. I think I'll be there the 18th or 19th through the 22nd, I believe. I don't even know. I'm not positive. It's too far in advance, but we're booked up, and it's going to be high season down there, so make sure you book your campsites now. They're going fast and furious. Did you book yet, Mark?
I have not. I've been. My main thing is I don't know if the fam Danley is going to come down with me. So
that's fine. The more the merrier.
I have to. Oh yeah, but when you've got two little ones and. You know, I don't want to be leaving the wife out alone, you know, in Florida by herself with her skaters. California girl can't handle them. So, you know, I'll see how she, what she thinks closer to, you know, the boondoggle, but I'm definitely going. Even if I have to find a Walmart parking lot to sleep in, I'll, I'm going to make it down.
Well, they don't have Walmarts that far south, Mark.
Of course they do. They got Walmarts in Iraq. They're going to have Walmarts in Florida.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, I'm looking forward to it as usual. You know I am. You know,
yeah.
Any of the boondoggles are awesome. So, and, you know, if you're not down with that, you know, it's a good group of people, man. So anybody interested, get on down there, man.
Yeah, it's, I missed the Charleston one, but Jacksonville, what do we call it, the slog? Or
yeah, the Great Slog.
The Great Slog. I mean, just that alone, to be able to tell people, yeah, you know, this is what we did. You know, all 30 of us, I think it was, or 20 of us, trudging through the mud and grime and getting back and, you know, enjoying some official beverage of Kayak Fishing Radio Thursdays, some sweet water, was definitely a good time.
Hey, you know, what's funny is sometimes the Hobie people, you know, they kind of give you that, well, you know, that I'm better than you because I got a Hobie and you don't, you know, thing.
My hands are free.
I'm not saying that there's you know, that goes on, but that goes on. Okay. It's like,
yeah.
People aren't like that, yeah, but still. Okay. But anyway. And that's okay. That's cool. Hobies are a nice kayak. It's kinda like the remember back in the day, the Trans Am people, you know. They yeah, anyway, it's the same thing with the Hobies. But anyway, it was kind of funny because once that tide went out, there were some folks there, and I'm not naming any names, but some folks there that were at the boondoggle with us were using, you know, couldn't use their pedals, and they had to paddle their kayaks just like regular old folks like us. And it was pretty funny. No, I'm not at the 7-Eleven. Somebody's texting me. My phone's blowing up here. I need to change my setting. So
you
anyway, yes.
with my new ride, I'll slog that thing through mud and muck. I don't care because I have a ride, 2012 ride.
Sorry. Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, got a moment.
I gotta tell you though, the good news is this week is I don't think I have a hole in my kayak anymore.
Cool.
You know, because when I got back to the beach on Sunday, you know, opened it up. You know, usually it's like it's a telltale sign. It's when you go to pull it out of the water and it like won't move.
So
I opened it up, and it was relatively dry. There was very little water inside. So and I was surprised, you know, due to the amount of the wind, and it wasn't really wavy or anything, but just kind of windy. And I was sort of surprised that it, you know, I was pleasantly surprised to find that there wasn't any water in it. So most of the water I think is coming through from my gator hatch. And I just need to do the old hammerhead Greg Crisp trick to modify that front hatch so it doesn't take on as much water anymore. So that's one of my projects this winter. Even though I will be fishing this winter, it just might not be as frequent as I do now. Also, for all the blog honks out there, I know I've neglected my blog, and it was funny, I got an email today that stated, neglecting your blog, there's people that will pay, you know, pay money for your neglected blog. So I thought that was kind of funny. So anyway, yes, so I'm cooking up some stuff. As always, I'm on a deadline right now anyway. Not only with the blog, but with yakangler.com, because, as you know, Mark, we have a deadline of Saturday to get our Yak Angler Christmas gift list submitted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you have anything on yours, because yours is probably all... yours is probably already bought, you know.
No, I've got a few things.
You're buying GoPros, you're buying reels, you're buying, you know, you're buying kayaks. I mean, come on, dude. You got anything left for the list, man?
Oh, I've got a bunch for the list.
Yeah, so keep your eyes peeled. I will be writing some stuff for the blog. Probably have a new vlog come out this week, and possibly an article, believe it or not. So I'm getting inspired again. It's been good. I haven't posted anything for a month, and you know, I get messages from people on Twitter and messages on people from Facebook, and you know, dude, what's up? You haven't seen anything on your blog. You know, you still doing that? You still fishing? And I'm glad, I'm happy that people notice, you know, because there is literally millions of blogs out there. And due to the fact, just the simple fact that I have a reader is awesome to me. And you're defying the odds, actually. So I'm going to get back on the horse here and start knocking some stuff out. So pay attention, keep your eyes peeled, and it just, you know, I just had to walk away from it for a little while, man. All right, folks are kind of coming in. There's Black Fly Guy from Daytona, I believe, or the east coast of Florida somewhere, and let's get into the show now, man. Enough with the hemming and hauling around. All right, first subject for tonight. You can catch Kayak Fishing Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Just look us up on there. Follow us, like us. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am a Bad Bat Cast on Twitter. I can be active on there. Lately, there hasn't been a lot to talk about. So, or I'm just not creative, or I'm just withdrawn or whatever. But anyway, you can catch us all on there. Okay, wind. You know, wind has been an issue. Wind is an issue anywhere this time of year. It's fall. It's around Thanksgiving. It's around it's around Halloween. And, yeah. Right. That's what I said too. but don't let it keep you off the water. I know that, you know, when it's 25, you know, it's blowing a gale of 25. it's not the most opportune time to get out on the water, but you still can. Now, you don't want to, you want to make sure that you don't, you know, you want to be safe. Safety is always the main concern. Wear your PFD. If you're going out there and there's white caps out there all over the place, don't go out there. If you don't think you can handle it, don't go. Okay? It's the best advice you can do. Only you know what you can do. I've been on the receiving end of that where I said, ah, man, I'm so tired of staying in. I'm sick of the wind. I'm going anyway. And just about sunk the kayak that day. So be safe. Safety is a concern. You don't want to go out there if you can't handle it. I don't care what kind of kayak you have or how many years you've been doing it. Be safe with it. And luckily, in the area that I live in, Florida has a lot of this, is, you know, anywhere from, I would say, probably Tarpon Springs south on the west coast of Florida, we're going to have mangrove, little mangrove islands, little creeks, little inlet bay things that you can get in there and hide from the wind. It'll protect you from the wind. You can stay within casting distance of that shoreline, and if the wind is blowing, you know, the shoreline will kind of protect you from that direct wind. where I was Sunday, it was very windy. It was blowing 20 to 25, small craft advisories and everything. We only had a short paddle before we were in the mangroves, so we were good. And we're back there. And, of course, it was low tide. Now, I'm not like a low tide fan in the fall. In the wintertime, that's great. You look for those negative lows. It was pretty close to a negative low. I would say it was really, really, really down. And but what I knew a couple of holes that we could go to around some of these. One was probably about, you know, 50 yards wide, and it's a nice hole right at the mouth of a little tidal creek, little depression there, and it's probably one of the deepest spots in the area. Didn't pull anything out of there though. It wasn't, whoa, landing crew, where'd you go? It wasn't a great day. But you can use the wind to your advantage, a lot of times. What I like to do is, you know, maybe not 20 to 25 mile an hour winds, but I like to let the wind push me across a flat, let's say. You know, of course, I don't want to be out there doing that in 20 to 25. But it's a very stealthy way. I can't tell you how many times I sneak up on fish doing that. Just let the wind kind of push you across the flat. And, I mean, I can remember I was changing lures one time, and I'm looking down, and I'm, you know, tying on a new lure, and I look up, and there's about four tailing redfish about 10 feet away from the kayak, you know. And I mean, I was literally almost right on top of them before I saw them, you know, before I looked up and actually saw them. So it wasn't a whole lot of stuff I could do, you know, by that time, you know, before I could even get the rod out and actually cast at them, they were already gone. So just, you know, you can do stuff like that with the wind. You can hide. You know, the wind can be your friend. It can blow bait around. It can, there's a place where you know it's going to bottleneck and the wind is blowing on that, and it might be an incoming tide like it was on Sunday. A lot of times the bait fish will be stacked up there, and the fish will be waiting on them. So sometimes the wind can, excuse me, the wind can be your friend. So it's all on how you look at it. But just make sure that you be safe with it. Don't do anything stupid. You ever have instances, Mark, where the wind can be your friend?
Oh, yeah. I use the wind all the time. With my older ride, I have a rudder on it. And if I get a wind just right, especially when I'm bass fishing, when I'm really trying to pound certain things,
or just trying to figure out a pattern, and I don't want to spook the bass because I want to calm the the whole thought that color of the kayak matters. It doesn't matter. The best thing, the way you can debunk this, is you take the find a deep enough pool, let's say, get permission, put your kayak in there, and then dive down to the bottom of the pool and look up. All you'll see is just the outline. So if you think through that, okay, I have a bright orange kayak, but all I see is outline, then you know that, that whole theory is kind of debunked. But anyway, if I'm really trying to be stealthy and I want to get into an area without, or run an area without, creating any ripples or anything else, letting the wind push me is the best way to do it. I mean, I've gotten over top of reds, that were, I'm on the edge of a little channel and it's clear and I can see, 5-6 feet, and I can see these reds coming in. And the last thing I want to do is put my paddle in the water, create any surface, distortion. And, the ability to have that and have them come right off the bow, and me just take the bait and just dip it in the water out the front of my kayak, is, why I kayak fish, because I'm that stealthy. I can get in there, unlike a boat where, water's always slapping the side and, the bilge pump's going, you're walking around, things like that. In the kayak, I can stealthily move in there using Mother Nature, as my friend, and use that rudder to, keep, myself going true is definitely a great thing. And even, when I'm trying to sit over a spot when I'm saltwater fishing, if I find, a pod of flounder, this is when I use it a lot, flounder sit in a spot. A school will sit within maybe a 25-foot radius. And the biggest flounder get the best spots, wherever that might be. And if I pull up one big flounder, I'm going to want to hit that spot again. But if the tide and wind are working together, it's a negative because I can never stay on the top of that spot long enough to feel a hookup. But
right.
If I have the wind fighting against the current, I'm going to hold in place, and that's going to be my natural anchor, quote-unquote. So I'm moving a little bit, but not as much as I would be before, it would be almost like fishing a slack current. There's positives and negatives. And of course, when the wind and the current are fighting against each other, it creates a little bit of a chop.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes it hard to see too sometimes. So another thing, so we were pretty well protected all day, but And we were on a, even though it was low tide and it was incoming like most of the day on Sunday, it was hard to, it was hard to find fish. We went to some, deeper edges where there used to be, a boat channel. And it's right in between the mangroves there. That was actually pretty cool. I was like, this is a textbook spot, incoming tide. Little deeper edge right next to the mangroves. I'm really surprised that we didn't find a whole mess of fish over there. Now, the fish that I did see, as I'm standing up in the kayak and I'm kind of paddling around, looking at the shoreline, there was bait fish everywhere. Okay, tons of bait everywhere. But one thing I did notice, and it's just the time of year, and you call this a news break, a news update. That's right. It's a kayak fishing radio news bulletin. Oh, the sheep's head are here. Okay, they're up and they're out and about and feeding voraciously. So if you got a hankering for the convict fish, now's the time to get out after them. I saw some pretty nice ones. Not quite landing crew size there, but. They were pretty decent, and they were in the mangroves there, feeding on stuff. And I swear to you, unless my eyes are playing tricks on me, I swear to you, I saw a sheep's head pick up a dead mullet and swim away with it, the dead mullet sideways in its mouth. Okay? Unless I'm seeing things. Unless it wasn't a dead mullet and it was a oyster shell or something. It was one of the most insane things I've ever seen.
Oh, sheep said they'll eat fish.
What's that?
Sheep said they'll eat, you know, fish and stuff like that.
That's what I thought, but I've just never seen anything like that. You know, it's swimming away. It looked like it had a corn cob stuck in its mouth, you know?
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird. But they were right there, right up against the shoreline, feeding on barnacles and whatever, you know, whatever else there. And now, tactics for catching the convict fish, which is your, you know, why you're here. And I can't really probably tell you anything that you don't know about catching sheep's head. You know, everybody knows the shovel bridge piling trick, you know. If you don't know, I'll go through it. You take a shovel, you run down the bridge piling, with a shovel, all the barnacles and stuff fall into the water and start going, you know, slowly falling down the water column. The sheep's head are there eating that stuff, and you throw a little, either a clam or a sand flea or a hermit crab. Or a piece of shrimp on a smaller, probably about a number one hook, right down the column. You know, you don't have to put a bobber on it. You can probably put a little, you know, slip shot sinker on it or something, and drift that right down the piling. And chances are you'll probably get one, or at least you'll get bit. So that's the that's the shovel bridge piling tactic. Another one, believe it or not, sheep's head will eat gulp. Okay, so any gulp products, if you have some shrimp in there or something, you know, go ahead and cut off probably a half-inch little chunk of a gulp shrimp, stick it on a number one hook, and sometimes you can sight fish for them. If you can see them before they can see you and you can get a cast off at one of them, like in front of them and they're feeding, good chance he's going to pick that up. But, you know, once again, they don't call him... What do they call them? What do they call it? You almost have to sense the hit before he bites, I guess.
Yes.
Because those things are masters at getting bait off of hooks without getting a hook in them. Oh, man. What other sheep's head tactics do you have there, Mark, that I might be missing?
Sending you guys are getting smaller sheepies.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost think like a shrimp jig head would almost work. It's a very short shank jig head, but really sturdy hook on them usually. If you see them feeding on the bottom, then, you know, like in the mangroves and stuff like that, and almost taking the gulp sand flea. And using that, maybe a quarter ounce jig head, maybe an eighth ounce, you know, usually have have a smaller hook, you know, lacing that sand flea on there and, you know, sight casting or throwing them into the mangroves would work. I think the biggest misconception is that, you know, that sheep's head don't actively feed. I guess you could say. What I mean by that is they don't, you know, go after things, you know, from a distance. They like things put in front of their face. I've seen a couple of videos online where guys were fishing for tarpon or stripers or, you know, a lot of other fish, and they're throwing, you know, cut up crab. And they'll throw this crab out, you know, like off a pier. It's crystal clear water. You can see the sheep's head come out from underneath the pier, chase down this bait, eat it, you know, before the guy even knows what's happening. So, you know, I think that's, you know, if you get it close to them and they're hungry enough and they can see it, they're going to go after it. So.
Absolutely. But they're hard to catch on flies. You probably would have to have a pretty nice, I would say, hermit crab or fiddler crab imitation. You know, if you're going to go after those on fly, that's a tough road right there. You might want to dip it in gulp first, you know, your fly, or soak them in gulp if you can. anything or your cure, anything like that, any kind of stank, because they are scent, you know, they do use scent a lot. I very highly doubt it that they're going to, no matter what, going to eat something that's doesn't smell like the real deal. So something like that. You can get them on fly, but once again, that's a hard road to hoe. Of course, there's probably people that do it all the time just because of the challenge. let's see. Yeah, so that's probably one of the big fish that you want to go after, you know, this time of year, at least in Florida. Now, up there where the landing crew is, they dump steroids into the water, and sheep's head get really, really big up there. What was that Rob Choi's citation last year? It was 13.10 pounds or something like that. I mean, that's a monstrous sheep's head. I mean, that's anything over, you know, down here, a big one is going to be, you know, 5-6 pounds, maybe 8, you know, is going to be a big one down here.
Yeah.
Up there, they just grow and grow and grow. And are they up there year-round, or is it more of a summer thing or a spring? Because down here, it's like right now, this time of year is when you start seeing them. And you'll see them all winter long until, I don't know, probably April or so, maybe March, depending on how fast the water gets warm. And once it gets above 70, they disappear. I don't know where they go to. They probably go up there. And
offshore wrecks.
They go, you know, they probably go up there to Virginia and get some of the steroids and turn into 15 pounders in like 2 months or something. I don't know.
No, we get sheepies until about now. Once that water starts to dip a little cooler, they'll move to deeper wrecks. But if you wanted to, you could find them. You know, they just get really picky.
Hmm. Yeah, we don't, I mean, like I said, you can be on a flat and you can see them, you know, anywhere there's an oyster bar around or something that's going to collect barnacles, you'll see sheep's head around like crazy. But, you know, from about now till, you know, March or April. But, you know, in the summertime, you know, I guess you're right, deeper water, deeper wrecks. that fish right there is definitely affected by the water temperature.
Yeah.
Also, flounder this time of year. It's a good time of year for flounder. Once again, when that water temperature goes down, you want to, you know, pay attention to the passes and little inlets and little creek inlets and things like that. Now, everything isn't staged up like it should be right now. You know, if you go by the calendar and you're saying, well, okay, fish are going to be here, fish are going to be there. You know, they haven't quite started transitioning yet. I don't know why. Everything right now, from the beginning of the year, I've noticed is about a month ahead of time as far as weather-wise, weather pattern-wise, temperature-wise, water temperature, all of that good stuff. Everything's happening about a month ahead of time. Which is really weird because I don't understand why the fish are not transitioning yet. So we're going to look for fish to start transitioning anytime. And in Florida, where you find fish transitioning is, you know, your usual spots, creek mouths. And I like to actually go on a falling tide and target those areas. Little mangrove backcountry areas, anywhere oyster bars, current breaks. Basically, they're coming in off the flats. If you used to, you know, like if you're used to finding fish, redfish and trout and snook on, you know, flats or anything like that, they're going to go in the backcountry and start transitioning. You know, that's what we call the fall transition this time of year. And they're going to start heading back into their wintertime haunts. But not all the way. You know, they're not all the way back there yet. Water isn't cold enough yet. But for some reason, with the weather patterns and everything being about a month ahead of schedule, I'm really surprised to that we haven't seen him back there. And I keep going back there. You know, I keep going to the transition spots looking for him and not finding fish. So I'm not really sure. We didn't do too good on Sunday. We both caught about a each, me and Keith, caught a 12-inch trout apiece all day. And the one I caught was a skinny bugger, man. I mean, he was hungry. So I don't know what the deal was with that, man. And it was in a right in a textbook spot, man. Right at a creek mouth on a where the little depression is, right in the creek mouth. That's like one of my favorite places to fish. Oh man! All right, Mark, give me another sheep's head tactic. What's a Virginia Chesapeake Bay sheep's head tactic up there?
To be truthfully honest with you, I've only got, you know, a couple. I'm not the sheep's head master. If Kevin or Troy were on, then they could tell you. My main thing is, you know, those are species that, you know, or a species that I'm starting to really delve into and truly understanding. I mean, it takes 20 years for them to get to 10 pounds. You know what I mean? So.
Does it really?
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that. I figured they were a pretty fast-growing fish, you know, since they're so plentiful and everything.
Yeah, they it takes them some time to grow. So, you know, because if people don't understand or don't know me, when I start fishing for a new species and or really starting to understand, you know, to fish for, you know, a group of species, let's say, I get stupid, as my wife puts it, because I start doing research. And I'm being serious. I go to the library. I pull out books. You know, when I started bass fishing, oh, my God. You want to talk about knowledge. You know, mostly, yeah. You know, biology, pathophysiology, anatomy, anything I can find out on the fish. Not necessarily the tactics, but what the fish is. And how they feed, you know, everything else. Because anyone could tell me, you know, for like bass will always hit a crankbait. Well, why? Why will they always hit a crankbait? Why will, you know, a redfish eat, you know, mullet during the summertime but not in the wintertime? Why would, you know, water temp and clarity, you know, affect a fish? They live in the water. Why would the temp change? You know, change the whole idea. Some fish, when the temps drop, you know, slow down. Other fish really want the colder water. Why is that? You know, and that's what I want to know. So that way, when I get on the water, I know I can put, you know, everything together. You know, for, you know.
Yeah. No. No. Absolutely.
Let's say stripers.
Yeah, you know, you need to know where they live and why and everything else, and I do that too with fish. You know, I didn't just like start fishing last week or last year or, you know, 2 years ago. I mean, I've been fishing for a long time, and I'm really having a difficult time figuring out why I can't find fish lately, you know. It's not like I just started, you know, last week, so I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on and what the deal is. But I'm the same way. I try to research species and figure out their, you know, where they live, what they do, how they, you know, get into their mind, you know, you know, if you're going to go fishing for them, you don't just go out there and soak shrimp and hope you're going to, you know, just hope. I don't know, man. So, okay, so what's some, give me some sheep's head knowledge there then. Some like not everyday sheep's head knowledge.
They are temperature and water clarity variant. What I mean by that is if you're on, let's say, 100-foot piece of structure, like a bridge piling, okay, and it's 100 feet to the bottom. And at every 10 feet, it's the water temp is 1 degree different. So from, let's say, 65 degrees to 75 degrees, 75 degrees is the top of the water column, 65 is the bottom. and the sheep's head will move up and down that water column to regulate the body temps, to find out where, you know, exactly where they're at. But here's the crazy thing. If the perfect temp for them at that day, and it changes from day to day depending on their metabolism and everything else, if the water temp, if the, you know, they wanted the warm water temp at the top of the water column, but the clarity of the water is crap, they'll stay in the uncomfortable, quote-unquote, temperatures at the bottom, the cooler water, until the water clarity changes. For them, sight is everything. When it comes to defending off predators, that's why they stick so close to bridge pilings, and they'll suck into rocky structure and wrecks like that. But they'll also venture out. They need to be able to see to be effective and stay away from predators. Sometimes you find sheep at 5 feet away from 5 to 10 feet away from a bridge piling, but if there's predators or anything else, they will suck up against that or find a hole or find something. So that's the main thing, is their sight. That's why you see sheep's head have really big, bulgy eyes, so they can see very well. Just some knowledge that I found one day at, you know, it was one of those, you know, university paperwork studies that were done. I'm like, no crap, really? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so. That makes sense. But one thing that you gotta, and you can vouch for this, Mark. Be careful getting those sheep's head in the boat with you. They're porgies, and as you know, porgies are very spiny. Porgy, I believe, is probably some sort of Latin name for a porcupine or something. So they're in the porgy family. Just like pinfish, what's another porgy? Parrotfish, I believe. God, you had to ask me. anyway, porgy family. So be careful getting those in the boat because they're very spiny and they start wallering around and flopping around. They're definitely to try to stick you with something. And especially a big sheep's head, man, like the ones that you guys get up there. Those things are just nasty. So, make sure you're careful getting those things in and out of the boat. All right. I was going to talk about braided line, but I think I'm going to save that for next week. So this is where I wrap it up. And I'm your host, A Bad Bat Cast. Make sure you log into yakangler.com. If you're listening to the radio show here, any of our shows, and you like kayak fishing, you'll definitely like yakangler.com. Make sure you sign up for the Chokoloskee Boondoggle, which is President's Day weekend 2012. If you don't know it, look at your calendar. And get the information in the events section under yaksocial at yakangler.com. So, that's the show for this week. What do you got going on your show tomorrow there, Mark?
We're going to be talking about fish art. The Geotaku, the fish prints, and, you know, how art, you know, falls into our fishing realm, from lure design to, you know, the fish prints to taxidermy. You know, things like that. You know, a different side. You know, the artsy, craftsy side of fishing. So,
very good.
And then how we can mold that into kayak fishing. So,
awesome. Yeah, Rob Choi's the man at that stuff. Well, tune into landing crew at the on Kayak Fishing Radio tomorrow night at 8 for the Mid Atlantic Report, and he has a lot of fun on his show there too. So until next week, I am your host, and I will see you guys later, man. Make sure you tune in to all of our shows this week. And as you can tell, I'm looking for my outro music, and I'm going to go with this. So see you guys later, man. Peace!